The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Come on in. We're getting set. We're going to get started in just a moment, but just get your minds, your spirits ready for worship. Do me a favor. Let me know or let us know. Can you hear me okay? Is the sound okay? Give me a thumbs up from somebody. Come on in here. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, fellas. Give it to me. Anybody grateful out there? Come on. Lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Some of you are just tuning in. Just take part in a short devotional service right now. Hallelujah. Is there gratefulness flowing from your hearts right now? Yeah. Right now, come on. Is there anything flowing from your hearts right now? We got issues. But right now you need some gratefulness. Yeah. Come on. Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. The sun is shining bright and the S-O-N is shining in our hearts. Is there anybody that has a hallelujah in your heart? Can you say it? Woo! Oh yeah. Can you say my hallelujah? Woo! Say it again. Say my hallelujah. Who does it belong to? Tell him, point to the sky. Tell him you deserve it. Woo, hallelujah. You deserve it. Woo. Gotta shake the dust off. Well, hello, 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 and good day to you and everyone. Happy Easter / Resurrection Sunday 2020. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to welcome you back to the First Baptist Church West College Hill online service. I am Charles King Jr., and I'm blessed to be the pastor of this house and the under-shepherd of this great flock. On behalf of my wife, Lady Angela King, our associate ministers, our deacons, our trustees, and entire church family, we greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Come on, somebody. It is Easter Resurrection Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate life triumphing over death, hope over hopelessness, victory over darkness. Come on, somebody. Give God a hand clap of praise in this house, in your house, wherever you are. Amen, amen, amen. The reality of the resurrection is the centerpiece of our Christian faith. It means the last enemy has been defeated. Hell and grave has been conquered. The law has been fulfilled. Sacrifices completed, and the justice of God has been completely satisfied. After a week of passion, who would have ever thought that 3 days later, things could change so drastically? The scene at the tomb was the conclusion of an age-old conflict. This was the promised fulfillment of God's plan and redemption and restoration. Finally, the wall of separation was torn down, and every partition moved. It's all things were united in Christ. Listen, listen, listen. The birth of Christ is celebrated. The life of Christ is honored. The death of Christ is remembered. But the resurrection of Jesus is experienced. The resurrected Christ gives life, and he confirms himself to be the Son of God. Is there anybody out there with me today? Come on now, come on, come on, come on. I know it feels different because we aren't gathered together like we're used to in our traditions. But let me tell somebody, Easter has not been canceled. Resurrection Sunday has not been canceled. It can't be canceled. The church doors might be closed, but the promise is still alive and well, because what the angel said on that first resurrection Sunday, he still says, Matthew 28:6, he is not here. He is risen from the dead as he said he would. Not risen from sleep, not risen from confusion, not risen from a stupor or slumber, not spiritually raised, but he is physically raised from the dead. Our Savior lives. Come on, somebody, give God a praise right now. Oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Yeah, I'm excited. Excited to be alive. I'm excited to serve a risen Savior. I'm excited about the fact that my life rolls on for yet a little while longer, and I want you to be excited. The Lord has blessed us to see a brand new day, a day we've never seen before and will never see again. Feels different, But the fact of the matter is we're still alive. We're still inhaling and exhaling. The blood is still running warm through our veins. And while I'm going to get to my message in a moment, I can still sense from some of you that even though I can't see you physically, I can sense in your spirits that you're saying, how can we be so celebratory? Amen. How can I celebrate? How can he want me to be so jubilant? How can he want us to be so jubilant? I mean, with everything going on in and around the world, some of you are thinking, Pastor King, I want to praise with you, but quite honestly, it's a little difficult right now, especially given the circumstances and the stories of this coronavirus global pandemic. It's pretty much consuming the news and our lives. Not only do the numbers keep going up, but now the latest headline is that the U.S. death toll has overtaken Italy as the world's highest death. For some of you, the threat is oh so real because you have loved ones, friends, co-workers, colleagues who have actually contracted the virus and even tested positive. Some of them are quarantining and they're doing okay. Some others, however, are sick and on ventilators and barely holding on, trying to survive. While some of you even know some people close to you who have died either directly from the coronavirus or from complications brought on by the virus. Then, to add insult to injury, you couldn't even go to the hospital to be with your loved one. You couldn't even go to the hospital to be of comfort for your family member or your friend. Or even worse yet, if they died, you couldn't even participate in a proper funeral. All for fear of contracting and possibly spreading the disease yourself. Some of you have been furloughed, even laid off. Yeah, this thing is real. But for most, even if you are staying healthy, you pretty much have what you need, various things at the house, and even if you don't have, even if you run low or run out, you can run quickly to the grocery store and run quickly back home. And so you're maintaining well enough. But you are still saying, yes, I'm maintaining, but I find myself worrying about the frontline workers in the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, the EMTs, the police, the firemen, those deemed essential workers. And so they have no choice. They have to go into work every day, possibly being exposed to the virus themselves, or without even knowing, maybe even exposing others. For some of you, you're saying, Pastor King, I want to be celebratory and I want to be able to shout and jump, but I'm not here just to get you emotionally hyped up. I want to connect with you. So I understand some of you are saying, listen, I find myself worrying about the vulnerable in nursing homes, in my church, in my community. I worry about my family, our future. I worry about myself. While I might not want to admit it, Pastor King, this worry starts to consume me, even debilitate me. I feel nausea sometimes. Occasionally, I get headaches. And I wonder, what will become of my church, my job, my family, my life? It feels apocalyptic, if you will, in the worst of ways. And you know what? I hear you. I do. As a matter of fact, I feel you, and I empathize with you. Let me just be honest. As a matter of fact, I too have thought some of those things. I too have felt some of those pains for those same type of things that you just mentioned. Yeah, it really has been a stunning few weeks for all of us, for sure. As a matter of fact, if the last few weeks have taught us anything, it's that mankind is extremely inept at predicting the future. Come on, somebody. Individuals, businesses, and churches alike are all actively grappling with this reality as they scramble to adjust plans. Many employing creative tactics that weren't on anybody's mind just a few months ago. But here we are. And as uncertainty and fear of the unknown cast a global shadow over common comforts and everyday routines, it's easy for pessimism to begin to enter into our thoughts, our spirits. Like I said, I think and I wonder about many of the same things you do. But again, let me just be honest with you. Additionally, as a pastor, speaking from my heart right now, I also wrestle with questions similar to what other pastors and other ministry leaders are wondering or maybe even worrying about as well. Amen. Questions like, will social distancing cause people to get used to a routine that keeps them away from the church building? Will they return when this finally blows over? Can my church survive if the giving goes down in the midst of a fragile economy, at a time when the offering plate can't be passed around? Will the inability to meet in person cause discipleship to suffer and church unity to deteriorate? And there are other questions just like that. Yes, a lot of the life that we know has indeed changed. And this current season of turmoil can take a toll on your joy. But even as many of us are forced to hunker down behind closed doors, we must not presume that God is stationary in this global pandemic. Think about it. Every year around this time in this season of Easter, this time in this season of celebration of Resurrection Sunday, Christians all around the world refocus on the cornerstone of our faith, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, Admittedly, it's easy, stay with me through here, it's easy to forget the significance of the resurrection when traditionally we've looked more forward to our clothes, our outfits, bunnies, eggs, baskets, and of course, big festive Easter dinner meals. And yeah, it's especially hard to live in the hope of his resurrection throughout the year as life brings inevitable challenges. So right now, as we transition, I want you to turn with me quickly. Turn with me in your Bibles. I need you to have your Bibles. If you've learned anything about me for any short period of time, I'm a Bible preaching pastor. So I want you to have your Bibles or your tablet or whatever it is. And I want you to even have something to write with. You might even find something said that you might want to take down and take note of. Turn with me quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm actually going to read verses 3 and 4, and then I'm going to drop down to verses 12 through 20. You also notice that I choose to read from various translations. But rest assured that when I'm doing my studying and when I'm doing my research, I'm certainly using the King James, the New King James, the Newly Revised Standard Versions, because those are linked to my commentaries and are also linked to my word study. Amen. So today, I'm actually going to be reading from the Message translation. Verses 3 and 4 says, from the Message translation, it says, "The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins exactly as Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from death on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says." Then dropping down to verse 12, it says, "Now, let me ask you something profound yet troubling. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say that there is no such thing as a resurrection? If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we told you is smoke and mirrors. Everything you've stacked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty telling a string of barefaced lies about God. All those affidavits we pass on to you verifying that God raised up Christ, sheer fabrications if there's no resurrection." Verse 16 says, "If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. On today, this Easter Resurrection Sunday 2020, on the day when so much has changed and so much continues to change and be changing, to include how we're doing church. But on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, what hasn't changed? He is risen. Before I get into my message, I want you to repeat this prayer that we've been repeating now week after week. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. What hasn't changed? He is risen. My brothers and my sisters, whether you're preparing for this Easter / Resurrection Sunday holiday being quarantined at home, or just preparing your heart for the day, it's helpful to recall that Jesus didn't just come to earth only to die and to rise again. He came so that we could live our lives fully with him each day resurrected. So, looking at the text, you want to ask yourself, okay, I have my Bible open. What is it? Talk to me about what hasn't changed concerning the resurrection of Christ. Well, the first point I want to raise from the text, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. The first point is the resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the Christian faith. It's right there in the text, verses 3 and 4, again from the Message translation. It says, the first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from the death on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says. Listen, without the resurrection of Christ, there is no gospel. Not only is there no gospel, but there is no good news. As a matter of fact, we are yet in our sin with no hope for the future. If nothing else, what this Easter / Resurrection Sunday 2020 reminds us of, it's this, that no matter what we've been through in the past, what we might be facing today, or what uncertainties tomorrow may hold, Christ alone is our hope. He conquered death, he rose from the grave, and he is all powerful. That has not changed. Second thing I want to show you from this text is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. Watch the text. Now, we didn't read these verses. That's why I asked you to keep your Bibles. I told you I'm a Bible preaching pastor. Watch. Look at verses 5 through 7. Again, I'm going to be reading from the Message translation. It says that he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time, most of them still around, although a few have since died, that he then spent time with James, and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him. Listen, the resurrection of Jesus gives credibility to all that he said and all that he did. The resurrection proved that Jesus was who he said he was, God come in the flesh. And he could do all that he said he could do. He said, I have the power to lay down my life and the power to take it up again. Listen, the world has seen in the past, and watch this, the world is seeing right now, prophets, healers, and teachers, and even some martyrs. But the reality of the resurrection established the divinity of Christ and the sonship of Jesus. Watch this. It declared him to be both Lord and Christ. I just said something right there. I said the reality of the resurrection established the divinity of Christ and the sonship of Christ. It declared him, watch this, to be both Lord and Christ. Somebody just scratching your head saying, wait a minute. Where did you get that from? I got it from the Word of God. Real quickly, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, the English Standard Version says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, if nothing else, this resurrection is the proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. Third thing I want to raise from this passage is the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that he could do what he said. Now I'm going to have to find this in another portion of the Word of God. So in John chapter 10, you can turn there quickly in John chapter 10, the 17th and the 18th verse. Again, I'll be reading from the Message translation. It says, this is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life, and so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I receive this authority personally from my Father. Watch this. If he is both Lord and Christ, then he has power over death and the grave. If he is both Christ and Lord, then he could send the Holy Spirit and empower believers to carry on his work in this world. As Christ and Lord, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Listen, the reality of the resurrection means that our past sins can be forgiven. Every sin, every mistake, every shortcoming can be cast into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. That's good news. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. Come on, somebody. See, on Good Friday, it looked like Satan had won. But 3 days later, everything changed. Death was conquered. Satan can no longer hold our past failures over us. Faith in Jesus Christ frees and delivers us from the penalty and the power of sin. My brothers and my sisters, you see, the reality of the resurrection means that we can have victory even in the present. Y'all didn't hear me in here. Come on, somebody. I said that we can have victory even in the present. That means right now. Yeah, we have power for living. We can be free from the power of sin and Satan. We have power available to us to conquer the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord of life can be the Lord of my life, somebody needs to say. As a matter of fact, some of us are saying he is the Lord of my life. His power can be our power, and his victory can be our victory. Listen, 3 days later changed everything. And that hasn't changed. Every child of God is justified, freed from the penalty of sin, sanctified, freed from the power of sin, and will be glorified, freed from the presence of sin. Finally, fourth point and the last point I want to make here in this message is that the resurrection is proof. Jesus Christ is proof that we too will rise again. Again, looking back in our text, watch the text, verses 22 and 23. Says, everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. Come on now. Christ is first. Then those with him at his coming, the grand consummation, when after crushing the opposition, he hands over his kingdom to God the Father. 3 days later, everything changed. Not only was there a bodily resurrection of Jesus, we too will rise in our own proper order, the just and the unjust. Resurrection means that his word is true. He is coming back again. Reality of the resurrection means that I have hope for the future. You have hope for the future. Death is not the end for a child of God. Death is not the end for us. For this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruption will put on incorruption, and we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Death has no sting for us. And the grave can't keep our bodies down. We too will rise again. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ has taken the sting of death for us. He has risen. Fear is gone. New life is ours. Listen, as I prepare to close, says in Ezekiel 37, that the prophet Ezekiel had a vision of a valley of dry bones. Says that this was a representation of the people of Israel. There were no signs of life or any possibility of resurrection until God breathed life into the bones. This was the prophecy of Christ coming to breathe life into all who believe in him. First, he had to represent us in that valley of dry bones. He had to be convicted. He had to be tortured. He had to be killed, and with no sign of possibility of resurrection. But then in John chapter 20, Jesus had been in the tomb for 3 days. His friends and his followers were hiding together for fear of their own arrest due to their connection with him. They were also grieving together at the tragic loss of the one who had once resurrected their hope, their calling, their faith, and their joy. But out of love and duty, the Bible says that the women went to the tomb to care for his body on the third day, only to find that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Hallelujah. In the days and weeks that followed, Jesus would reappear to his followers and his friends, resurrecting their hope, their calling, their faith, and their joy repeatedly. Breath of life, breathed into him by God, breathed life into the grieving hearts of his people. Listen, Jesus was sent to this earth to resurrect you and to resurrect me. He had to endure more torture and pain than any innocent man should, so that each of us could live a resurrected life. You may have lost your hope, your calling, your faith, and your joy due to the struggles of life. But you have a God. We have a God who has the power to breathe life into your dry bones. Pray and ask God to resurrect your life right now, to resurrect your joy, to resurrect your hope, to resurrect your peace, even to resurrect your calling. Calling maybe as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a caregiver, as a friend, but simply as a disciple and a child of God. That's our mission. We were created to glorify God. Ask him to help you live a resurrected life with hope, with calling, with faith and joy.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.